Random thought. Going on a trip with someone that you're dating is the best way to know that you're compatible.
Maybe.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 118. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate us, and leave a review.
And thank you to everybody for helping us get to episode 118. Who knew we'd be here, man? That just sounds like a big number, like we've been here for a while.
Compared to the first time you talked me into doing this, I was like, I don't know.
Wait till we get to 118th reality TV dating show recap.
Pause.
Slow down. So back to this random thought. You know, thinking about this, like, you know, going on a trip with someone that you're dating is the best way to know if you're compatible. And I'm not sure if, you know, how many times you've gone on a trip, or if you've ever gone on a trip with someone you're dating and you're like, you know what? Yep, this ain't it. But everybody that goes on a trip for the first time with somebody that they're dating is checking for clues and red flags to say, run.
I agree, but I'm wondering, is it, I know it'd be for me, it'd be the little things. I'm like, that's how you pack?
wait, stop.
It's not going to work out.
What?
I'm just saying, it'd be just the little things of how someone plans. Are they like last minute scramblers on everything? If you're on a flight, are they the ones that want to get to the airport 2 hours early? Or do they like to get there just before the door closes? It's just a lot of things you can learn about someone when they travel. And then when you go travel, are you with somebody that wants to like make a list of everything you're going to do minute to minute each day? Or are they, can they be spontaneous and we're going to go see this? And then we're tomorrow, who knows what we're going to go do? We'll figure it out. You know, I think there's a lot you can learn about that person to see if you're compatible.
I'm going to ask the question people want to know right now, because this is going to be interesting. So are you the 2 hours early, or all right, I got pre-check, so let's skate by the skin of our teeth.
Okay. I have pre-check. So if I'm traveling with somebody, I like to get there a little early, so that way they got plenty of time to go through security, and then we can have a cocktail at the bar. So I kind of plan that out, that okay, we're gonna get there, then we're gonna go sit here, have a couple beers, get on the plane, start the vacation.
Okay, that makes sense, a little sense right there. Okay, but if you're traveling by yourself, you're like, hey, hold the door.
Well, I'm by myself, I'm last minute. But here's what's really funny about me. Because I know I have these weird things about myself, like the getting to the airport at a certain time and my system and process. Mm-hmm. If I know I'm around people who aren't that way, I try to overcompensate. So when I was working for Whole Foods, we had travel, and sometimes, you know, the airport shuts down, you know, small airports, or everything's delayed. And you're like, I'm just in Houston, I'll drive. You know, let's just get run a car. I'm the type that'll say I'll drive, because I'm sure someone would be, if I let someone else do it, they're going to put the cruise control at 70, and it's just going to annoy me and frustrate me even more. So I'm like, hey, I'll drive. And I did it one time from Lafayette, Louisiana to Austin. I was like, hey, I'll drive, no big deal, because I just couldn't have the patience. So I try to overcompensate in those ways. Just like if I know someone takes a long time to get through security and they're going to carry a whole bunch of stuff for 2 days, we're going to get there early so we can sit at the bar, have a cocktail.
Hey, so if you have pre-check and you're traveling with that person, you book for both people, then guess what? They have pre-check for that trip too.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't know. Guess I don't book enough trips.
Like, book your own flight. I'll meet you there.
Meet you at the airport.
But it's true though, because, you know, it's funny. My wife said this to me when we went on our first trip, like, jokingly, like, ha, I get to see how you really are when we go on this trip. I'm like, okay, but I didn't think much about it. And then as we talked about it later on, she's like, oh yeah, no, I had to check out certain things, like, you know, what's he like when you get drunk? What's he like if you drink? Do you get like this? You know, how do you act around the hotel staff? You know, there's so many things. So guys, the five guys that are watching the show, because we know this is an 85 to 95%
male
audience. Be aware that if you go on that first trip with somebody you're dating, they're scoping you out. As much as you're checking them out, they're scoping you out too, checking out all the minor details. Because it really matters.
It does. And I think that's the dice that you roll, right? To see if this is going to work out, because you hope it's going to be a great trip. But I have been there where as soon as the plane landed, I'm like, oh shit, this is going to be a long 2 days.
Because you know, there's no escaping. When you go spend a weekend, you can still escape because your car's there. You can, yeah. When you go on a trip, especially when you go out of the country, there's no escaping. Now,
yeah.
Do you have to fake an injury if she shows up in house slippers, a bonnet, and with a big ass pillow?
I can't imagine that would ever happen to me because I do my due diligence. You know, so when I was back in the day on Match and all the dating apps, if I was doing that, I'm going to try to see if I can find what you look like. Your LinkedIn, your Facebook, Instagram, mugshots, something. I'm going to see what I can find as public record. And I'm good at it. I am good at finding people. But I couldn't imagine. I can't answer that. If somebody should look like that, I got no answer.
In other words, Cheryl has access to the airport camera so you can see as you were walking through the airport what you look like. Because nobody posts that when they got on the bonnets. Nobody posts that on social because that's not the good picture. The good picture is when they get their hairs all out done.
Well, I think that would be like for the very bold people who would venture out to go meet somebody for the first time and y'all travel meet somewhere or you travel to their city you've never met in person.
Yeah.
Or done enough video chatting or full body video chat, if you will. So I can see that being odd. I think the time that I traveled to someone, I was living in Kansas City and I went to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So that should say a whole lot right there. But
I remember the movie.
I had met this girl online and her son was playing in a baseball tournament in Kansas City. So she invited me to come watch the game. I'm like, that's weird. I mean, I'm not ready to reach your son. Haven't met you yet, but it's a tournament. It's a game. They're going to be busy. Totally fine. So I met her. We talked. And I think we, like next day or something, we went out. And it was a nice, decent date, right? And then she invited me to come to Broken Arrow. And so I get to Broken Arrow. And there's a lot of time that had passed in between that. So I go out to go see her. And just each hour of the experience, I'm like, oh, this is a mistake. Just different things you're seeing, the way she's doing stuff. And then it got to the point that it was me, her, and like a couple of her friends. And I just hit that moment. I'm like, I'm going to get drunk. So I just was like, give me a shot of whiskey.
Let the brown
had a
kick
ball.
In.
Had a ball. And I was just like, I'm not trying to kiss you. I'm just going to get drunk and go on back to the hotel and go to sleep.
Would you like something to snack on? Yes, give me an onion, please. Let me make sure she doesn't try to sneak in for a kiss here.
Yeah. I mean, no, you don't want to do this. I got a cold sore forming right there. You can't see it, but just in case.
Get a Sharpie, just put it in. Well, speaking of traveling, man, as we get into For the Love of Sports, you know, I don't know what it is about this particular airline and black athletes, but Sha'Carri Richardson, back in the news because she was on an airplane. Same airline as the one OBJ was on. And there is video. We don't have to wait on the body cam footage because she had her phone out and she was going through it. And you saw the story. And I know. Now, you know, I'm no big fan of Sha'Carri Richardson at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of hers. But if it's about her phone and her being on her phone, if it's on airplane mode, can't you record? Because the flight attendant seemed like he was giving a hard time about recording.
Yeah. I don't know, but like the whole airplane mode deal, because I hate, it's been many, many years since someone's asked me to show them my phone that I'm on airplane mode, because that would piss me off. So I'm like, well, are you going to check everyone else's or is it just mine?
No, but, you're a black man.
But here's the deal. We know that Ms. Richardson probably has a little aptitude. There's proof of that. So there's video of her. It's not like I'm making it up. Uh-huh. There's proof that she has a little attitude. And so do flight attendants sometime either speak to you very short, quickly, or where it might sound like there's some sass? Sure. But they're dealing with assholes like us.
No, like y'all, not us. So I'm nice.
Maybe it said that, but why get all this attitude over there, putting your phone on airplane mode? And then why do you let it escalate? You are Shikari Richardson. Why are you letting this escalate? Because just like OBJ, you're about to be on the internet again for something not positive.
Let's be honest. She put herself on there. And of course, some of these other folks, the other passengers, get involved and start talking to the point that even the, as she's talking to him, to the flight attendant, and somebody says something, she goes, hold up, you stay out of this. Even the flight attendant's like, we don't need any help. We don't need any help. We got this. Like, the flight attendant had to be like, hold up, we got this, Karen. We got this.
Yeah. What is a Black Karen? We got to come up with a name for a Black Karen.
You know, the fact, though, is I was with Shikari on the fact of her with the phone because you can put it on airplane mode. You can still record. You can still do a lot of stuff, especially, well, that airline I don't think has the Wi-Fi as good as the one I fly all the time. But I was with her until they finally made her leave because her video was long. And if you bear through all that, got to the end where she's getting off, finally leaving the plane. And of course, there's a passenger's got something to say. And she pulls out the OBJ. Shut up. You're fat. And then she goes, I'm still a superstar and you're just a regular person. Mm. And I can buy a private plane. No, you can't.
Yeah. No, you can't. You would have been on the coach in United.
No, now if it was United, you know, they like to beat and drag people off the play. So it wasn't that.
With all that hair, we just waiting. Just rest that weave. But it's that comment, too, that makes her terrible, you know? And no, that's just that mindset. We all know, you know, nothing positive comes from that long term. And look at her career. Look what's happened to her. All that talent, but her own attitude is getting in her way. So why go on the airplane and act an ass like that? And then you're going to record it and you're going to put it up yourself because people aren't talking about you anymore. Find reasons to talk about you before running. Shut up and run.
Come on, Fox News. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to back Shikari Richardson on this one, right? And I say this because while what she said, and I said, like I said, I was with her until she said that, but I understand why. Because as she's, this guy is provoking her, the flight attendant. Now, there's a point where you can just say, shut up and be quiet. Let's just go where we're going. You can. But there are times when people are going to irk you. And this is one of those times that person irked her. If he kept bothering her and, like she said, in his face, because we don't know what happened because there wasn't rest of the footage, as you like to have. But at the same time, I mean, if that's the case, and then people start jumping in, now you're the center of attention in this and people are jumping up against you, you're going to fire back. Just like OBJ when the man had something to say. But look, I'm being inconvenienced too because they want to be assholes. So yes, we all getting off the plane, right? So with her, and she's like, you going to miss your connection? He shouldn't have bothered me in the first place. Give him that same energy.
So I'm with you in the fact that if they're coming at her some ways, she could, sometimes you want to lash out or defend yourself. I understand mm-hmm. that. It's what she said.
Okay.
It says a whole lot about who she is. If this guy says something, instead of her saying, don't make me come back there and put my hands on you, she says, you're fat.
Well, okay. He might have been fat.
But if he is, A, he knows it. B, the plane probably knew it. But that's a very immature, weak little.
No, it's valid. If he has to use a seatbelt extender, it's valid.
It's weak. It's just weak for you to like shame somebody. Again, looking at who you are. And then after that to say, I'm famous or whatever she say, I'm a celebrity. You're just a regular person. I'm a superstar. You're just a regular person. All that says everything I need to know about her attitude. So, nope, don't have her back on that one.
I'm just saying, I understand. I understand.
Shut up and run.
You know, still in the love of sports, as Deion left Jackson State, headed to Colorado, and he's doing a great job there just recruiting already, right? They've shot up the recruiting ranking. There's a lot of attention being turned to other former NFL superstars turned HBCU head coaches, right? Like Eddie George is over at Tennessee State. Well, Ed Reed, I had no idea he was going to Bethune-Cookman. Now, Bethune-Cookman, you know, with the founder, Mary McLeod Bethune, you know about Bethune-Cookman if you've been in the HBCU bracket. You've heard about them a lot. And when you heard about it from Ed Reed, it definitely wasn't a shining light. You've heard of it before because he had a lot to say and it wasn't good.
If you recall a few episodes ago, we were talking about Dion and Dion leaving Colorado. I recall I said, I blame the SWAC and it's up to them to figure out how to keep the momentum going.
Right.
So then in comes Ed Reed, who has all the tools I think you need to do that. The difference, I think, between Ed and Dion has a little bit of finesse with how he wants to get stuff done. Ed Reed walked in like he was walking into East Side High, and he's, you know, what's his name? What's Morgan Freeman's character's name in Lean on Me?
I can't lie. I've never seen it.
You never seen Lean on Me?
I've never seen it.
Oh my goodness. You
don't start because you just started watching The Wire. Stop it.
I don't even know what to do right now.
You just started watching The Wire. I don't want to hear that.
Lean on Me came out in the '80s.
Yeah, but exactly. That's why I didn't watch it.
Anyway, the principal there, Mr. Clark, you got to watch the movie. But Ed Reed came in just guns a blazing. Now, the things that Ed Reed was saying was right. But it's how you say it.
Yes.
How you send that message is where he went wrong, in my opinion.
I agree, because the cursing, he just went on a rant on IG Live at it definitely wasn't necessary. And of course he came right behind it and did one heading to work, explaining what it was. And cause people came for him and like, why are you doing that? Why are you embarrassing us? Why are you dogging us out like that? And you got to understand it. I think that's the thing that when Dion came in, first of all, Dion doesn't curse. So therefore he wasn't going to come with that kind of energy, but Dion came in with a certain energy where he wasn't trying to embarrass. And the problem I have with Ed Reed was his delivery. The same way you were about Shakiri and her delivery is the same way I got to say. Ed Reed was definitely wrong in his everything he's saying right. Like, yo, this place should not have trash all over it. We need to take pride in our HBCUs. We definitely need to do this, this, and this. And he did something that a lot of people don't do because a lot of people just complain. But what did he do? He got the football players. They went out. They cleaned it up. So he did something about it. And that's always been something you and I've always talked about. Don't just complain if you don't have a solution. Do it.
Agree with that. And Ed did something that Dion was smart enough not to do. Mm-hmm. Dion didn't start making moves and talking trash until he signed on the dotted line.
Then there's that.
He had the contract, right? Imagine if you go to a radio station for an on-site interview and they're giving you a tour, taking you to lunch. You can't sit there looking at people going, I'm going to fire you. I'm going to get rid of you. You know, you might as well start looking now. Put yourself in the radio transfer portal because I'm coming. You can't say that until you've signed on the dotted line. So Ed can't go in talking trash, making changes without a contract.
Yeah. That is so true because I didn't realize he didn't have the contract until all of a sudden we see the ESPN he is not going to be coaching because now he's all tearful in front of the players. Bruh, you can't go in like that. You got to be able to go in and prove yourself. That's what Dion did. Dion knew what he had and what he was about to do with Jackson State, but he didn't go in and embarrass the school. He didn't go, oh, these facilities are crap. No, he came in with a solution and said, okay, let's fix these. Here's why I did this. Right. Because our fields were bad. But when he brought that up, when did we hear about how bad the fields were? After the field was replaced.
Right.
And it wasn't, and he didn't say, these mother effing fields were shitty as hell. No, he just came and said, we had to replace. I got the funding. I used my relationships. And this is what I did to get this better.
Yeah. And I think that what I didn't like about his Instagram speech where he's going off and he was making comments like, you know, these MFs don't care about y'all. They don't care about your kids. And that bothered me because all HBCUs care about their kids. I think there's a lot of people that do some hard work that are less paid in some of the PWIs, mm-hmm. but every school has some corruption, mm-hmm. right? Just like Notre Dame has something. I'm sure there could be somebody playing with the money at Bethune-Cook, but the only way you make change is working with the people there that care yeah. and show how they can get involved. And Deion mm-hmm. built a culture there, not just around football, but around the pride of Jackson State. Ed Reed has that ability to do that same thing. And so the fact that he didn't do it, it just makes it look messy. But to be on there yelling like they don't care about y'all, I don't blame Bethune-Cook for like dropping it and not even revisiting, because I think the students are protesting tonight that they want Deion, they want the school to open up negotiations with Ed Reed. It's not going to happen.
And it shouldn't. I'm sorry, it shouldn't. I'll be honest. It shouldn't, because you can't come in and embarrass the entire program, not just the program, but the school like that. And because if we let you back in, then what happens after that? It's right. Like, you ever been in the club and somebody's cutting up and they should be thrown out and they let that person stay? You can literally watch that person's persona change and become bigger because they go, I run this shit now.
I'm the captain now. I'm in charge.
You know, who's in charge right now in New York City? This one, as we get to this bullshit, is which I, you know what? I think today's edition of this bullshit is really not going to be a lot of bullshit, because I'm not mad at this. It's the Department of Environmental Protection, right? And what they've done is that they put a law in place where traffic cameras are equipped with sound meters capable of identifying souped up cars and motorbikes that are emitting an illegal amount of street noise. So if you got a noisy car, a noisy bike, you're going to get a ticket. And they got a lot of tickets. And, so far, at least 71 drivers have gotten tickets because they've had these loud cars. My Mustang had some pipes on it, and you could hear me coming a mile away. I didn't realize how loud it was to somebody else drove it. And I was like, what the hell is that sound? Because when you're driving, you don't hear it, right? But I agree, there's some cars that are extremely loud. You're just like, I don't want to hear this. But I think especially for those who blast in the music, especially explicit lyrics at the stop sign, give them a ticket.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, because I remember as high school, you wanted the boom, boom, or the brang, brang, whatever. Depends on how tight
your license plate. Yeah.
But you'd wanted that, and you want to know what are they playing. But when I think about New York, and I don't know what part of the city, but if this is New York City, I'm thinking it's probably a lot of your highly populated areas, mm-hmm. especially around downtown. To me, it makes sense. You have those condos, sky rises, you know, all those different places where everybody lives that you want to minimize the amount of noise, because that can impact real estate value.
Right.
But if it's like in a neighborhood suburb, you know, probably wouldn't be that big a deal. So I am for this one. And at my age now, I get annoyed when I hear cars basing. Yes. I wish I could just like call an anonymous tip here in Austin. Like, hey, they basing over here on 35 and MLK.
You know, of course it had to be on MLK. But, you know, I had a loud sound system in my car too, right? But one of the things I did when I pull up to the light, I would turn it down. Unless I was the only person there, then I keep it jamming. But other cars pull up, I turn it down a little bit, right? Just out of respect. And, you know, but there's some people who don't. Here's where I have the problem with this, because I'm all for this. One, like I said, I had pipes on the Mustang, so mine rumbled. And it's a Mustang. It's an American muscle car. It's supposed to rumble. Now, when you put those kind of pipes on a Honda Civic, yes, give them a ticket, because that car shouldn't be out there sounding like that, like a clown car. It shouldn't be sounding like that, okay? We leave it, put it on the cars that are supposed to have that. Also, here's the thing I'm a little worried about. How strong are those speakers on those cameras? Okay? Because you realize if they're able to detect the sound, that means they have microphones. What else are they picking up? That's
conspiracy theory.
Because I saw this happen in the workplace before, and I'm like, no, you have to let people in this building know that you have it has sound capabilities, that their microphone's installed. Are you kidding me? You people are having private conversations even just walking down the hallway.
But I don't know if it's recording compared to picking up sound vibrations and being able to detect which ones are car bass related compared right. to just the normal day-to-day traffic. So I don't think it's recording okay. sound. I think it's mainly based on the...
That's my question.
But, I mean, it's a good point. That would be funny if that's how they did it. If you think about all the superhero movies and the technology out there, that's going to be there.
Yes.
Some point.
This is how Skynet takes over, by the way. Just want to point this out. All this automatic stuff you see, all this AI, everybody who went on Facebook and Instagram and paid that little bit of money for the AI to give you these portraits of your pictures. Yeah, somebody looking like you going to be walking around. Your doppelganger is going to be actually your clone created by Skynet. We're going to replace
you. Coming to your job. What are you doing here, Yanni?
So, also, like I said, this is going to be not... this bullshit is really going to be some good stuff because, I mean, for those who don't like the loud noise, this is a good thing. But here's something else that was good that nobody knew about. Somebody paying pharmacy bills? What happened here?
So there's a gentleman in Alabama named, I think it's Hody Childress, H-O-D-Y. Mm. But he passed away. And while he was living... I guess this came out after he had passed. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran. And so what he would do is he's a farmer right now, but he had been a veteran. Once a month, he would donate $100 to this local pharmacy. And that money would be used for people who struggle paying for their prescriptions. It was just something he'd been doing. And he'd been doing this for years, like over 10 years that he was doing this every month. And so what's feel good about this is, you know, just shows how the community tries to take care of the community. And he's out of his, you know, heart, he was doing this. What I love about the story is the fact that nobody knew about it.
Exactly. Even his kids didn't know. They're just like, his daughter was like, oh yeah, he was always positive. You know, he never lost his optimism. But most people, when they do things for other people, they want it to be known, especially in today's age of social media. It's like, hey, bum, you want something to eat? Let me feed you real quick.
Look at me giving him a bottle of water. You see that? You get that?
Exactly.
Change the filter. Send. Don't touch me.
This is such a feel-good story because it was quietly done. And when I think it's to the point of when he couldn't go in, he would get somebody else to take the money in anyway.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for any one specific person. It was, here's this in case somebody can't pay their bill. It's like what he did was the equivalent of when you go to the gas station and you actually used to pay in cash and then you have some change, you just drop it in that little thing because you drop your pennies in there. So somebody who's short, they can use that. Yeah. But he did it with $100. I love this story. I love this guy.
Yeah. I love that deal. You're talking about the thing you had in the grocery stores. Got a penny, leave a penny.
Yep.
Need a penny, take a penny.
Right.
But that's where you pay it for to help. But the fact that no one knew that he was doing this, and I bet there's so many people like this gentleman that are out there that just do nice things without it having to be on social media, you know, where you're posting on, you know, for us old folks, Facebook or whatever, just bought the coffee for the person behind me in line, you know. Hashtag pay it forward. I'm just like, why you got to tell people you did it?
Right.
Or I saw this lady and she had her babies with them and a lot of groceries and she didn't have enough. So I bought the groceries for them. I'm just like, why do you got to put that out there? Just
do it. Because they want a pat in the back. That's why.
Exactly. Exactly. So
tell me how good I am.
No, let me show you how awesome I am.
And now you can tell me how good I am as well, too.
Yeah, yeah. I got some get into heaven points today.
Yeah, I'm so kudos to this man. You know, round of applause for him for actually doing that and keeping it quiet. And the fact that the family was like, okay, well, let's at least let it be known that he did this. You know, it's just a good feel good for the rest of the community to know, like, oh, he did it. He's probably one of the people who didn't like praise heaped on him. Now, here's the question I have, though. Did the family keep this going? Because I didn't see that part.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, I bet like if they created like a GoFundMe mm-hmm. or something like that for this pharmacy for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. Again, somebody would probably steal. You got to figure out who's going to manage it. But I wonder if either, if not the family, other people that caught eye of the story mm-hmm. are going to start shipping, you know, $100 to this pharmacy for that same reason.
And I sure hope the pharmacy was using that money because he has no idea. He just gave the money and was like, that's for the goodness of his heart.
You got the manager of the farmers that got my bonus.
Now,
my monthly bonus.
If this was his way of saying, you know, his doing his get to heaven duties, but he was a heathen and a devil in the rest of his life, and he's in hell. Like, what happened? I give $100 every month.
That should have gave me at least 2 screw ups a month.
Why is it so hot here? The hell happened? I thought that was paying $100. I thought that would at least do it.
That doesn't balance that out, no. Maybe you should get a chart, God. Next time, put a chart out. Like, if you do this, it's $5. Yeah, if you do this, it's $25.
It should have been $150 a month. Damn it. All right. I don't think that helped us now get to heaven chart.
No, he already knows. It's like, no, you can't sit here. It's taken.
These seats are reserved.
It's no Southwest. Front of the bus, no back of the bus, no bottom of the bus. You can't get a ride.
Don't even hang on the back of the bus.
Don't even hang on the bus.
Oh my God. Hey, don't forget. So this week, it's going to be slightly different, right? Like, instead of Wednesday, our Married at First Sight recap for season 4, when we get to the honeymoons, let's get to the excitement. Let's get it. It's going to be Thursday night. We're going to do the live stream, 8/7 Central. Okay. So we'll be doing the live stream Thursday night instead of regular Wednesday. So you have some time to watch the show and get caught up, and let's meet online, whether it's on YouTube, on Facebook, or on Twitter, all at RGRTPod. And let's talk about the show, okay? Friday, of course, we're back for Ready to Love, Terrell's new favorite show, his new favorite reality TV dating show. I mean, he loves this show. You not can't wait to hear what he has to say Friday night. We'll be back on 9:30, 8:30 Central with a live stream on that one.
Can't wait to get through Friday. Painful.
And then next Monday, we are back for episode 119. Again, thank you guys for always, you know, checking us out and making sure that you share this with everybody else too, all right?
Yeah. Tell a friend about, what's the saying?
Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell another friend.
There you go. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell another friend about your favorite podcast.
Exactly. With these guys, I'm Yanni Root.
I'm just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's a Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.